All right. Hey, guys. Tommy Q, HCA from Ohio. Grateful to be here. And the Zoom Boom Room, wow. What an experience. I never experienced the Zoom Boom Room. The meeting before the meeting here. Yeah, what a jolt. And I recognize, being the old dude in the room, I actually recognize some of those songs. The Jim Messina and the Three Dog Night and Joy to the World. Oh, my God. I remember having that 45 in 1971 when it came out, 70. I was like in first, second grade. And we played the snot out of that thing. It was such a cool song. So, you know, my parents, they did a lot of right things, you know. But, you know, what, they're human and, you know, they screwed up too. But I am grateful that I had the parents that I had. So that's one of the things, you know, that I'm learning even still these days is, you know, that I can have more of what ACA calls blameless recovery. And it's a process, you know, it doesn't happen all at once. But, yeah, I really love my ACA recovery. I think real quick, I want to say the traditional serenity prayer just for my own, get my own head screwed on straight. And you can join me if you like. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. May the words be mine, Lord, but let the message be yours. Because I believe that you are expressing yourself in these rooms in a very special way. All right. So, yeah, I'm one of the older dudes in the room. I was born in 62. And unfortunately, my parents were kids. They were very, very young in 1962. I have two older siblings, two younger siblings. And unfortunately, they were teenagers. I mean, I'm number three of five kids, and my mother was still a teenager when she had me. So I really believe she was experiencing something called postpartum. And for those who don't know what postpartum is, it can be, it's very traumatic for the women who give birth at times. They can really take on symptoms in their body and in their mind that can be really, really horrible, and it could be detrimental to others in some cases. I think my mother had what's called postpartum psychosis, unfortunately. And of course, I didn't know that as a kid. You don't know that when you're a little kid, but yeah, she was off the rails, and as a result of life-threatening abuse that happened multiple times, I was probably, I'm guessing, three or four. That's when the PTSD started, and that's when the bipolar started. But in 1966, you know, there were no resources, right, for anybody. It was like, it was a whole different world back in the 60s. So what did you do? Well, you sucked it up, buttercup. That's what you did. That's how they rolled. You just lived with it. The problem is it just began to snowball. And it came out of my behavior and more emotional problems, more PTSD. Yeah, I was that roaring tornado. I was that tornado roaring through the lives of everyone that I came in contact with. And I didn't know that. I just... I was just living my life, but everywhere I went, it was very, very arduous, very brutal. As a little kid, not only big behavioral problems, but I was having emotional problems, like I said, and the PTSD, which is more a neurological thing. And I remember the biggest thing was experiencing something called limerence. So for those who don't know what limerence is, it is romantic obsession. And as a little kid, I mean, 6 years old, five, 6 years old in first grade, I started having limerence issues. And, you know, I would just dissociate all day, sitting in the middle of class, believing that, you know, this object of my affection, this other six-year-old girl, could take care of me. And it was really, really obsessive. And now I know what I was doing. I was surviving. I was I was obtaining a skill that helped me to get through that, to survive that, that whole life. Sorry for my clock. And this just snowballed. Every school year, it was a different person. Total behavioral, class clown, class bully, class idiot, you name it. If I can get attention, I will, wrong attention, right attention, it didn't matter. It was just like, it was bad. And just thinking about it triggers me. I started gravitating toward things to mood alter as a little kid. Food. I never gained weight as a kid. I didn't start getting weight until my 20s, but other things, nicotine. I mean, we would steal the older kids' cigarettes, or the parents' cigarettes, or, somebody else's cigarettes. I was just telling somebody that we used to carry around Zippo lighters. This is before they had Bic lighters. They didn't have Bic lighters in the early 70s, mid-70s. We carry around a Zippo. It was, you were cool if you had a Zippo light. My point is, I was beginning to mood alter with things like nicotine. And that morphed into an everyday habit, probably starting in fifth grade, and then cannabis, seventh grade. So it was summer of 75, I was going into seventh grade, and heavy cannabis use. I took to it like nobody's business. The counterculture, the residual of the counterculture movement that was still happening in the 70s, that was my new family. And the fact that I could alter my mood at will was very, very attractive. I had a paper out when I was 12. I made $8 a week. I had 30 customers, 10 cents a paper. And nickel bags, you can get a quarter ounce for $5. And I was a very happy camper that I could mood alter like that. My point is, it just snowballed with other things, And it just kept going on and on, and my life became more disruptive. Tried to get sober, could never, it took forever to get sober. Eventually, I did get sober, staying sober. I'm 63 now. I got sober when I was 40 in my beverage fellowship. And I'm so grateful for Alcoholics Anonymous for so many reasons. It took me forever to get it, to make the decision to stay instead of doing the AA merry-go-round. I'm glad I did stay, because I would have died. The drugs were real heavy then, and they kept saying to me, keep coming back, just keep coming back no matter what happens. Anyway, that brings me up to coming into ACA. I was 13 years sober in 2017. In fact, I was looking at my big red book. I came in on December 9th. Of 2017. And the reason why I came in was because a few weeks earlier, even though I was 13 years sober, I was having what we call in AA, I was having what's called drunk dreams. In my sleep, I was having these 4K high resolution pictures of drugs. There was no craving, there was no none of that, just these pictures. And it happened like two nights in a row, maybe three. And I'm like, WTF, what is going on here? I'm in the middle of the boat. I'm in the middle of the AA bed, so to speak. I'm active, I'm sponsoring guys, go to a lot of meetings. And I'm having drunk dreams. Anyway, through a bunch of circumstances, I found myself in ACA. And it was because God essentially was saying, you got some unfinished business, Tom. And it's like, no, I don't. I did a fourth and a fifth step in AA. I did it really good. God's like, well, you got some unfinished business. In a manner of speaking, that's what God was saying. So I availed myself to this program as I began to learn about it. In fact, that first couple of weeks, I was familiar with the drill, and the first thing I did was to get a big red book. And I opened the table of contents, and I saw the solution. One of those chapters is called The Solution, Becoming Your Own Loving Parent. And that was intriguing. I thought, that's a good place to start. And that's where I started with my AA literature journey, was in that chapter. And as I began to read it over the course of the next couple of days, very slowly, I remembered something I was taught many years earlier by a therapist who knew about the concept of inner child, loving parent, toxic or critical parent. And he tried to help me many, many years earlier to apply these things, to use these things, and we couldn't do it. I wasn't able to. But in 2017, as I'm reading Chapter 8 in the Big Red Book, all that stuff I had learned 10, 12, 14 years before, it made sense. It clicked. And something out of my spirit said, why don't you introduce your loving parent to your inner child? And I'm like, that's kind of weird. That's kind of hokey. I don't know. And then another voice said, what do you have to lose? And I thought, yeah, I don't really have anything to lose. So on that day in December of 2017, and this is even before the Loving Parent Guidebook came out, I donned the Loving Parent hat, and I introduced myself to my inner child. And I began to speak to my inner child in a way that I was never spoken to. And over the course of the next few days, it was just kind of a one-way street, so to speak, as far as communication. And I would do it mostly by writing. I would use a red pen when my inner child was speaking, and I would use a black pen when my loving parent was speaking. And then slowly but surely, my inner child began to dialogue back. And that was interesting. I still have all those journals. And one thing my inner child would always say at the end of the day, or at the end of, you know, journaling that day, he would always say, thank you for not ignoring me. Just spontaneously, out of nowhere. And I still think of that. I still remember that, because I can still do that today. I can still neglect myself, because that's what I was brought up in. It's easy to do. Yeah, so anyway, that's how the journey began. And continually, I choose to do so much of the basic things that I learned here in ACA and AA. And one of the most basic things I learned in my beverage fellowship is that meeting makers make it. There's more to recovery than meetings, but the meetings are the classrooms where I learn about my para-alcoholism and its kissing cousin, codependence. These are the classrooms. It's also, I also look at meetings as medicine. There is no medicine out there for para-alcoholism or adult child syndrome. I mean, I don't know of anything except ACA. And the fact is, para-alcoholism is very serious. My alcoholism was drop-dead serious. Same with my para-alcoholism. And I'm grateful that, you know, I have something to treat my para-alcoholism. And I have to do that daily. You know, I need my checkup from the neck up every day of the week. You know, meetings help with that. Meetings help in so many other ways. Service opportunities, networking, you know, learning about, you know, the steps and the application of those. Was big into the steps in my AA program in a very big way, even to the point of being kind of like a hard, you know, hard-nosed long timer, old timer, kind of in your face. And then when I came into ACA, I saw that as that, authority figure. I was being the authority figure, you know, that hard-nosed, crusty old-timer in AA, you know, beating you over the head with my AA big book. You better get sober, you're gonna blah, 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 blah. You know, it was bad. And I'm grateful, you know, I got into ACA, and ACA taught me that, you know, Tom, you know, that's not, that's not good recovery. So, yeah, I am, today, I really focus on continuing to, I do a lot in ACA, but the thing that I continue to focus on more than anything else is to hone my skill as a loving parent. I don't, you know, I've learned that my critical parent cannot reparent me. My inner teen cannot reparent me. My inner child cannot reparent me. And I can lose sight of that, especially with my inner teen. You know, my inner teen, you know, every day is asking me, hey, I know how to do this. You could give me the keys to your the bus of your life. I know what I'm doing. And I'm like, yeah, you do. You know what you're doing. Here are the keys. And it never fails. He, you know, he drives the bus of my life right off of a cliff. And I let him. Now, it's probably happening less, but, you know, it's frustrating. Anyway, so our literature is awesome. ACA has awesome literature. And, you know, I am so grateful for the literature. I'm so grateful for the collective wisdom of an international fellowship. You know, to me, that is a power greater than myself. It is not deity, but it is a power greater than myself. Our literature, you know, is a power greater than myself. How many thousands, tens of thousands of people are helped? It's not deity, but it is a power greater than myself. And then there is God, or deity, that works in and through our literature and in and through the fellowship. And my job is to show up. You know, I was been taught again that showing up at an AC meeting is a very important form of service. Even if you don't say anything, you know, showing up is a really, really important form of service. And to the new people, you guys are the most important people in this room, in my opinion. So please keep coming back. I was told a long time ago that, you know, if my ass falls off while I'm walking down the road tomorrow, I should pick it up and take it to a meeting and not use it as an excuse to hide, to isolate. That was my MO. You know, I drank. I was a career drunk, so to speak, and a little over 20 years, hardcore, and most of that was spent alone. Getting the booze, getting the drugs, and just locking the door, unplugging the phone, you know, creating oblivion, creating a place to hide, and creating something that would take away the pain, and creating the illusion that I was safe, and that nothing could harm me in that lifestyle. And I'm so grateful I don't have to do that today. I still can lapse into isolating. It's easy to do, especially if there's a crisis, a minor crisis. And some of that isn't bad, you know. And by the way, I distinguish isolating from solitude. Solitude is very important, but isolating is something different. You know, I need me time. I need solitude to take care of me. But isolating is a whole nother ball of wax. Yeah, so much emotional sobriety is here, you know. And in order for me to get that, it means that I got to go to a meeting. You know, God, he works in these rooms. Like I said, he expresses himself in a very unique way. He's not going to show up in my living room and start talking to me about recovery, you know. And if he does, he'll probably say something like, Tommy, you need to go to a meeting, you know. Otherwise, you know, my point is, God is in these rooms. And there goes my clanging, clattering clock again. Anyway, so much when I share my experience in the rooms, it's so easy for me to lose being able to articulate how grateful I am for everything you guys and the program has given me. It's just so easy to get discombobulated. So I'm running out of words. I still have some time, but if it's okay, and Rich did say it was okay, I'm going to bang out a song on my acoustic guitar, and it's a song, it's a recovery song, and it's actually the different song. You know, I told Rich I was going to play one song, but I'm actually going to play a different one. This is a song about, it's a recovery song, which is called Anger Speaks. And the premise of the song is, if my anger could speak to me using words, what would my anger say to me? It's so important. And I guess what I'm talking about here is fourth and fifth step stuff. You know. And not just anger, but, you know, all those other emotions. So hopefully this will come through. Can you hear that, Rich? Okay. Hopefully the voice will come through. Anyway, yeah, so this is called Anger Speaks, and it goes like this. No. There we go. No. Me. I am your anger. Own. Me. I am your rage. Don't run away. But see me. And for a short time, even hold me so we can be. When I was younger, I was taught the lie that I could run away and hide outside from the anger inside me. But now I'm older and I'm no longer hypnotized by the dancing flames, they still rise inside. But instead of running away, I'll fall into you. The fire red, it's the anger inside my soul. The fire red, the mystery that now I see unfold. A story's finally being told.
Again, free to be a friend,
like in the sun again, 'cause I love you. I truly do, 'cause I love you. I truly do. Free to love again, free to be a friend, free to ride my bike in the snow again, free to love again, free to be a friend, free because of you, God, you are. Because we, in our own unique ACA way, because we love you, we truly do, because we love you. Now, Tommy Q, ACA, thanks for allowing me to share, guys. I'll pass.